Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
NBA basketball fans, we are back with the NBA offseason banter podcast, otherwise known as the playoff banter podcast, but of course the playoffs are over and now it is the off season. And you know, we have a draft show planned on Friday. Didn't necessarily think that it was going to pop off yesterday, but it did. It most certainly did in a major, major way. This is a trade that has been talked about for quite some time. A lot of people assumed that it would have already gotten done. Then, it basically was coming down to the Celtics and the Lakers from the sounds of it. Anthony Davis is officially a Laker. That is obviously huge news. So now the Lakers and all their struggles this offseason already with Magic stepping down, all their struggles in general in the last chunk of years. The last 2 years, they got LeBron, and then they got Anthony Davis. So there's something to be said right there anyway. Well, I'll tell you what, man. We're going to break this down. We're going to break it down, what it means, obviously, to the Lakers, what it means to New Orleans, because they did get a bunch of assets. I mean, you know, the picks, we'll see how they turn out. Obviously, that, you know, some of them may be packaged into, you know, moving up in a draft. You never know. They got the fourth pick now for this draft. They may be, you know, that might be on the blocks. They have Zion coming in for New Orleans, so if you're going to rebuild, it shouldn't take them that. It's not like a full rebuild where you're screwed. They do have some talent coming in, so, and they have a little bit of talent still on the roster, after AD left. But obviously we got to discuss what it means for the Lakers, what it means for New Orleans, what it means for the West. And obviously when we talk about the West, we got to talk about Golden State. We didn't get a chance to do a show Friday night, so we're going to talk a little bit about Golden State. And obviously, you know, losing KD in that game, we talked about that on the show. But now you kind of assume he's going to opt into his player deal. So we'll talk about that. Same with Klay Thompson. We haven't talked about this just yet because it happened not long ago. But Klay, you know, tore his ACL, as everybody knows now. So he's going to be out for a good 6 to 9 months. So what's that mean for them next year? They got some decisions to figure out. So there's just a variety of things that we're going to talk about on this NBA offseason banter podcast. By the way, I'm Chris. He's Marshall. And like I said, we're here to discuss everything NBA trade related. We will have a draft show next Friday. And then probably, I don't know, 10 days later, we'll have maybe a little longer, the way it's going, we'll have our official free agency show, too. There's probably going to be more trades. There may be a big trade coming up, or a couple of them, who knows, coming up, you know, Thursday on the draft. But if this is your first time listening to the NBA offseason Banter Podcast, which is the same thing as the Playoff Banter Podcast. It's under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast right here, blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. It streams live at archives here. It's basically the headquarters. You can find this podcast you're listening to now under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast on iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, all over the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found on iTunes and all over the place, including Spotify. In fact, you can use your Siri and Alexa through TuneIn or Spotify to find the show on Rope-A-Dope Radio or on the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Also, iHeartRadio for the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. You know, there's a whole lot of things. In fact, right at the website, you can listen to the show as well. It's basketball, it's football, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And they got a brand new sponsor over there, betdci.eu. That's betdci.eu. They have a promo code TGT. Make your deposit and receive 50% for sports or 50% for casino bonus. So you can use the promo code TGT for BetDCI. So, you know, last time we spoke, Marshall, there wasn't that much going on. Just kidding, of course. The last time we spoke, we kind of felt like this thing would go to Game 7. It obviously did not go to Game 7. And we had already known and discussed we didn't really discuss it, but the Durant injury, we knew, you know, he went in there to try to help his team. He ended up getting seriously hurt with the torn Achilles, 9 months, they say, minimum. He may not even play. I mean, if you start to, you know, he's already had the surgery, but if you start to add it up, he may be just getting back into form right around, you know, a month before the playoffs or during the playoffs. Klay Thompson will probably return before that, but it'll be after the new year, you assume, because if you're going to go ahead and give him some sort of deal, you're probably not going to rush Klay Thompson back. So before we get into the Davis stuff and the Braun stuff, and also who's going to be the third player? Will it be Kemba Walker? Will it be Jimmy Butler? Will it be Kyrie Irving? Or do you give maybe two guys some really solid money and kind of spread it around on some free agencies? Obviously, you know, some of the free agents they added last year didn't really turn out. Some of them got injured. A lot of people were dogging on what they filled out the roster with, but I think people forgot those were one deals, you know, 1 year deals, most of them. So they have like six guys on their roster right now, under contract, I should say. So, we're going to discuss all this, obviously, but let's start with, you know, obviously if you've listened to the show, my co-host Marshall is a huge Golden State fan. I'll tell you what, man, there's really no way to sugarcoat this. I'm obviously happy that we got a new champ. I'm happy for Toronto. I'm happy for Kawhi. I'm happy for Toronto in general, the city, the people that stand outside all over that that city watching the game. So I'm happy we got a Canadian champ, kind of different there. That definitely kind of hurt the ratings here, but it blew up the ratings there. I think the last game, 50% of Canada was watching, was pretty crazy. And obviously, you got to figure there's already a lot of ball players coming from Toronto. You got to figure this is just going to spark a whole generation of ball players. So the trend for, you know, Toronto and just Canadian players coming down here and blowing up is only going to go up. But from the point of view of Golden State, not only did you lose, okay, it happens, you know, without Durant, you know, we both thought it was still, they were still going to win the series. I asked you last show, how's that sweep going? But that's a joke. That's just a joke, Marshall. That's just a joke. But we both thought, I'm not going to sit here and play Monday morning quarterback on a Sunday afternoon. I thought they were going to win, too. I thought they were going to push this to Game 7, even when they're down. But losing Klay and losing Durant, and just what a way for this dynasty to unravel at the end. What are your thoughts? Obviously, it was such a great stretch run. The last 5 years have been in the finals. There's been a whole lot more good times than bad times. But this one was rough, especially your two key free agents, you know, are on the sidelines for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a good way to go into the offseason. And for the run they've had, it was just kind of just a weird way for it to finish. Now, I don't think this team's falling off the map by any means. I mean, you're still going to have Draymond, Steph, and Clay, and probably, you know, I mean, we're not going away, but obviously the injury bug has came to hurt. You know, the whole Game 6 Clay nickname is such a badass thing, because that pretty much just lets people know how good a man can be on pressure games. And he had scored 30 points in 32 minutes and probably would have dropped 50. Probably. I mean, he was doing magical things. And it just on a fluke steal, we throw the ball up for a layup, and, you know, just his knee came down in the wrong way. So it was unfortunate, because, I mean, I'm being a biased guy, but I really thought we were going to win that game just because he was just doing stuff that he seems to do for big games. And then the injury goes down, and then still, despite no KD, no Clay, we had the ball 10 seconds to go down one. I mean, it was just a very magical effort from the fans at Oracle and the players. And, you know, I hope that's not the last time this team goes to the finals. Like I said, it's kind of a weird way of injuries, but they do happen. You know, I don't think that the Kyrie and Love being hurt in the finals earlier was as much of a factor as KD and Durant, but or Clay and Durant, but still kind of the same idea. Sometimes injuries help your team, sometimes they don't. And this was a situation where the injury bug bit us, and it just really goes to show overall how magical of a guy LeBron is. I mean, you could say the Warriors kind of had, you know, five finals in a row. Man, that's such a beating on your body. And he did eight, and he never really got hurt at all. So it's kind of like, dude, that guy is just something crazy. He obviously is in the news again today now with some help joining him. But, yeah, I mean, maybe the injuries just got them. You're playing so many extra games and extra minutes that other teams don't do. Right now, you know, for example, Karl Anthony Towns has probably took a week off or two for the Wolves and is now back to working out and re-energizing his body for the next season compared to playing extra games, you know, year up here. Obviously not that you wouldn't mind the Wolves being in the playoffs, but, you know, it's just extra taxing time, and it caught up to us. And I'll just say props to Kawhi. I mean, I'm obviously not happy Toronto won. I'm pissed off my team lost, but good for him. That guy went up there, and I don't know if he necessarily thought it was going to be a guaranteed series final win. I don't think he went up there planning on guaranteeing a ring, but, I mean, that guy got it done every series. There was the clutch shot against Philly, the huge kind of finishing games up against Milwaukee. He was the go-to guy in the finals. I mean, good for him. You know, I don't think he stays there. Who knows? But overall, yeah, just kind of a shitty way of injuries to occur. But the Warriors move on. Now, speaking of the team in the future, as you were just saying, Chris.
Hold on. So you don't think he's going to go back? You think he's going someplace else?
Kawhi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to L.A. It's just a matter of – I think he's going – yeah, I think he's leaving.
Man, that would be pretty crazy. I'm not sold on it 100%. I mean, I was kind of getting geared up for the draft, so I did want to kind of look at Toronto's roster a little bit more to kind of start to guess. You know, they obviously have to bring some people back. They made some moves to show, hey, dude, you know, they did make some moves to say, hey, man, we're dedicated to try to win this thing this year. You know what I mean? I'll say that down the stretch of the season and whatnot. But I don't think it's necessarily a foregone conclusion that he's just gone and he's going to go to the Clippers or the Lakers, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you got the momentum of winning the title. I mean, you're adored as the kind of savior of the town. And obviously, they'll probably would offer him any amount of money he wants. I would just kind of lean, I think he probably goes to L.A. just for kind of the bigger scene, especially if he wants to join LeBron. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Is he a big scene guy, though? Is he a big scene guy? And why go to a team where you got a bunch of youth and you may or may not? It kind of matters. Does he go to the Lakers? Which, obviously, that's a plug and play. But he goes to the Clippers.
Sure.
They're a playoff team, but it's not necessarily a plug and play for sure. But then going to the Clippers kind of makes sense for him, you know, in a sense. I don't think he'd be going to L.A. just to improve his brand or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're right. Who knows? I mean, I'm speculating as much as you. I guess I haven't heard as much buzz as he wants to truly stay in Toronto. You know, I haven't heard him say that during this playoff run. You know, sometimes those athletes kind of give hints. Like, you know, you can kind of tell this year that Kyrie wasn't happy as a Celtic, you know, just for example. And I guess normally we hear people bitch more than people say, hey, I'm going to stay. And obviously nowadays if an athlete does say, hey, I'm coming back and you don't, people talk about how he's the worst person in the world. And obviously Kawhi's a quiet guy in general, you know. So, I mean, I guess you kind of have to keep your cards hidden under the table. But I would think he'd leave. But, again, if you're going to stay in Toronto, you can probably get 4 years, probably $25, $30 million a year, and you're seen as a savior. Again, it's not the worst choice in the world. But if L.A. calls –
and you're in the East, too.
Say no to that,
you know, you can get to the finals quicker.
And that's the big thing, yeah. It's like the West, again, is just loading up more. Grant Anthony Davis didn't go from East to West, but he went from bottom seller to up, you know, top shelf liquor. So, I mean, yeah, just the West is getting stronger and stronger. So, again, do you want to battle all the horses in the West, or you want to go keep battling against the Celtics and, you know, and beat? You know, from that standpoint, for winning, that's a much easier choice, Chris, you know. But, and who knows, maybe he had an idea in his head of where he wanted to go when he was leaving the Spurs, and he just never said something. Maybe he's had L.A. in his mind for his whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just from the way that he was forced out of San Antonio, well, you know, from the way the San Antonio things played out, maybe it was just some predetermined thing he's had. And obviously, again, like I said, he's not a guy that's going to go on Instagram and tweet about stuff like that. So we'll find out eventually. For the Warriors, though, I mean, it is really shitty, obviously. You know, people were leaning that KD was going to the East Coast. But with his injury now, as you say, he's probably staying in Golden State. I heard Klay's dad say he's coming back. And obviously, if you're Klay, you know, you're kind of in a little bit of a tougher spot. I mean, now, I still think people would still pay him a good amount of money. But I do think that maybe there's kind of that thing of, man, is our legacy going to end like this? You know, I think the Warriors are going to offer to pay him quite a bit. I don't know the whole standpoint from the Warriors for the future. I mean, I know Steph's on a deal. You got KD for another year. I think Draymond is up at the end of next year. So maybe if bringing Klay back this year says, hey, Draymond, you're gone next year, you know, that's obviously a possibility. You can't have all these four guys that are stars forever, you know. I guess obviously you'd all star financially. But, you know, I guess this run you got to make decisions at some point because none of these – I mean, obviously Draymond, he's a five-tool player. He's not going to want to take a pay cut, you'd assume. So, you know, who knows how it plays out. But I do think from how the injuries have played out and how the finals ended, I'm with you. I think Klay and KD – excuse me, Dan Case. I think they're all coming back, Chris. And – again, you know, I've heard people saying, like NBA people on Twitter, oh, Warriors aren't making the playoffs next year. So, you know, they're already done. It's like, oh, easy. You know, I'm not saying that we're going to be honestly back in town next year, but I wouldn't cast off a team of Curry and, you know, and help. And I guarantee you they're going to redo that bench because that bench was shit in the playoffs this year. That's going to get redone. So I wouldn't be one of the people saying the Warriors are out of the playoffs already next year just because of the injuries. I think that team's a little – deeper
who
than
said that?
But yeah, I've just seen people like NBA, like you know how like analysts on Twitter and stuff, and a buddy sent me a screenshot from people like saying I think they're trying to be you know the fancy NBA talking heads and be like, oh, the Warriors are missing the playoffs next year. It's like, I don't think they are. Yeah, I get that's maybe the hot topic to say right now because, you know, people are hurt. But a Stephen Curry, Draymond team is not a bad squad, you know. And maybe this is the kind of year where Curry's going to be like Harden and try to score, you know, 38 a night. Who knows? But I wouldn't go that far to bet that they're missing the playoffs next year, my friend. The only shady thing is, I'll make a quick point, I'll throw it back to you, is what this does for the rest of the West. You know, we're talking about the Warriors going to have to rebuild, and obviously the big news we're going to get to right now is Anthony Davis going to join LeBron. And again, LeBron's going to be healthy next year. The guy's going to be ready to go. And now you got a top, when healthy, probably a top five player in the game, I would say, at best, at worst. You know,
right?
And now he's joining them. So, like the Kings this year, who are an up and coming team, or you know, pretty much any team that didn't make the playoffs this year in the West is now like, oh, dude, like, or maybe the Clippers or the AT. It's like, well, there goes our spot. You know, we keep talking about how year after year the West gets more and more loaded. I mean, assuming they don't put together a crappy bench, the Lakers are by far now the best team in the NBA, I would say. I mean, you have two of the best players in the game on the same team, and you can assemble something together. So, you know, I think we've been trying to solve the way, Chris, to make NBA more competitive, and they've tried the Supermax and all stuff that's like, it's good news for the league, obviously, because Anthony Davis is a superstar, Jordan LeBron, that's a great story, L.A. Mark and all that. But, man, for those teams in the West, it's like, well, shit, we might now have another couple of years where it's going to be a done deal with LeBron. And it kind of makes the minor markets, it's like, well, crap, if you're Sacramento, if you're Phoenix, if you're, you know, Minnesota, New Orleans, all these teams, it's like Clippers. It's like, what the hell are we going to do now? And I love the signing, but it's like, damn it.
They had already been doing that 5 years. Golden State went to the finals 5 years. So it's just a different team doing it now.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of, I'm with you. It just kind of like, damn, another stretch of, I think I'm stumbling because I don't know, there really isn't a wrong thing. I mean, the New Orleans did nothing wrong, the Lakers did nothing wrong, but it does kind of go back to that point of, can we ever make this league kind of even balanced now? But it's like, well, shit, probably not, because now these Lakers are going to be good for quite a while, Chris.
So now you're worried about the league balance coming off of having Durant added to a 72-game season. Now it's a worry to you all of a sudden.
I would say that because
funny.
But
funny how that works.
Frustrating.
Right, now you know how it
feels. Before without him.
You're going to get a little taste of it.
Yeah, I know. But, I don't think there is a perfect answer, you know, to
– Well, I got news for you. The league's never – the NBA's never been this wide-open league. So go look at the champions the last 40 years, you know what I mean? It's because there's five players on a court and limited amount of people that come in to help those five players. So – if you got two of the top players, if you got three, well, shit, then if you got four of them like Golden State, you're not going to get beat unless you get hurt. But let's not be down in the dirt about the West or Golden State. Let's talk about a brand new West now all of a sudden, because it's not like those other teams are going to go away. LeBron's not going to be here for 7 years of full LeBron. But you're right, though, having that. He did get hurt. It really does tell you a lot about, like you said, about the injury thing. And that's why it scratches my head when people are like, oh, he's done. Look at this year. It's like, dude, first of all, his numbers were good. And second of all, it's the first time he's gotten hurt for this long a stretch. So, like, is that okay that he gets hurt in his 30s?
Well, Chris, I remember hearing that he wanted to come back from his groin injury and the team told him no. Like, he was like, okay, dude, you know, I'm not going to just sit on the bench. And the Lakers like, no, we're not in the playoff hunt right now. You know, let's not have you injure yourself even more.
just sit down for the year. It wasn't like LeBron took the easy route out, because that guy is a gamer. But I remember reading an article or hearing something saying, like, hey, let's shut him down. We have a bigger horizon, you know, to look into. So, yeah, he's a remarkable athlete, Chris. He got hurt once, but, yeah, that's stupid for people to say that.
But as far as the titles go, the title favorites, like you said, with the news of Anthony Davis trade, the Lakers title odds for next season dropped from plus 400 to plus 350 at the Caesars Sportsbook in Vegas. The Lakers are 7-2, Bucks are 6-1, Clippers are 6-1, Raptors are 8-1, Rockets are 8-1, Warriors are 11-1, 76ers are 12-1, and the Rockets has made it known that their two other pieces with Harden are on the blocks, the trading blocks, potentially. There is some stories coming out here and there. We'll obviously talk more about that, but let's talk about this freaking trade first. Like you said, to have these two on the court, and it's not like this guy doesn't have range, because he does. There's really not too many bigs. Well, he's the best center in the league, in my mind. There's some guys that are really coming up in the world, no doubt about it, but I think he's the best big man in the league. And to have that, it gives it a different feel to where you can get easier buckets. You can also get a ton of rebounds with the 7-2 on some of these three-point shots that the rebound goes, you know, everywhere. It's going to be explosive, like you said. Now, it did come down to the Lakers in Boston, and it sounded like Boston would not offer up Jason Tatum. They fear shit. I mean, wonder if we gave Tatum away, then Kyrie leaves, and then AD leaves in a year. I mean, can you really fault them so much for that? That's kind of one of those things like, man, you could have had him, but then again, you don't know what would be there if no Kyrie and then Tatum's gone. And I don't know. You just don't know. There is some issues there. I want to get your thoughts in just a second. But basically, after that fell off and they weren't letting Tatum be part of the trades, you know, let's break it down. They got, you know, Ball. They got Ingram, who I think can be a little bit better scorer if he, you know, is able to have the ball a little bit more. They got three first rounders, including the number four this year, which they already sounds like they may trade that. And they got Zion coming in, and there's already several teams expressing a significant interest in that number four pick. So that could even mean bigger things down the road. A team to watch is Atlanta. The Hawks have three first round picks, 8, 10 and 17 in 3 seconds, 35, 41 and 44. That's coming from Kevin O'Connor from the Ringer. First of all, would you have taken the risk to get AD if you're Boston in part ways with Tatum, or was it too big of a risk where you won't have Kyrie, you won't have Tatum, and then in a year you won't have AD? What's your thoughts there? And then also, you know, it means a whole lot. We're going to talk about a little bit of the New Orleans side, who now have Zion, some young players, and, you know, assets through the, you know, they got a lot considering. Even if you look at, like, the Kawhi trade last season, they got a fair amount, man. I think this was a fair trade for them as far as trying to rebuild, you know, what they have. We'll look at their roster a little bit, but yeah, just kind of your thoughts in general about the actual worth of the trade. Obviously, I think the Lakers gave up a lot of, they gave up some young parts. We knew that was going to happen, but they gave up three first rounders, including this one. So they're really going all in, which does make sense. AD is going to hit the free agency, so that way he can get a full max. That's obviously going to be a little shaky come that time, you know, next year. They're going to be like, please don't go anywhere. But he's going to probably sign. So you have AD now in a great player. So when LeBron does get older, you still got a guy who's 26 years old And then, so I want to hear, you know, from both sides. You did talk a little bit about the Lakers side. But as far as adding the Lakers in, you know, was it worth the risk? And also, we'll start to get in to who's going to be that third player. Will it be Kemba Walker? Will it be Jimmy Butler? Or will it be Kyrie Irving? What's your thoughts, and what do you think they should do? Or should they break it up and sign two or three guys that are just solid role players instead of break to the bank on Walker, Irving, or Butler?
I think that for Boston first, we've heard for like literally 4 years about how they have the most assets and the most trade pieces. Everything is perfect, and look what we're going to do. And it still hasn't really led to much. I mean, by no means am I a Celtics fan, obviously. But we heard for years upon years, man, we have this asset, we have these trade picks, and look what we're going to do, and we have all this young damn talent. But you got your ass whooped 4 games in a row in the playoffs, and now Kyrie's gone. Is Gordon Hayward ever going to be the same? So from a Boston standpoint, it's like, well, why wouldn't you try to maybe mix up or bring in AD? I mean, is Jaylen Brown and Tatum really going to take you to the glory land? I just think for all the pieces they've had, all the trades they've had, now I'm not saying they've done a shitty job, but I think you would have expected more. If you would have heard, you know, 3 years ago when we had the first round pick from this team and that team and all these young guys, how 2 years ago went to the Celtics, it's like, okay, you've had all this stuff, but what do you have to show us right now? And currently the product is, it's obviously not bad, Chris, but I mean, can you say they're above Toronto currently? Can you say they're above Milwaukee? Are they better than Philly? It's like for all these pieces, right now you're maybe the fourth best team in the East. It's kind of like, huh, maybe we did screw this up in some way, shape, or form. So from my perspective, why not bring in a guy who is a top five player in the league and say, hey, Tatum, you know, see ya, you know, whatever piece they have to give up. Because Anthony Davis is a guaranteed, like, change for your team. Now, Jason Tatum, I guess he's a young, talented star, but he and Anthony Davis, he's not going to guide you to, you know, a finals. I guess I don't quite get what they've been doing. But besides that, the only thing I think the New Orleans screwed up, Chris, was we pretty much knew this deal was going to happen. I mean, last year when we were doing our show, whatever, during the season, it was pretty much, okay, Anthony Davis is going to be a Laker. And I remember the one night I got the text message over from ESPN saying that the Lakers have now offered, it was like five or six players and the trades. And they refused that deal. So looking back, I mean, they had a good deal now. Looking back, they should have taken that damn deal then. Because you pretty much would have had everything you got today or yesterday plus more. So I think the only bad thing for New Orleans is that, okay, you had a good deal and you got all these people for him, but you could offer the same thing like 4 months ago, and it was even better. So, I mean, I get the future is bright, but if I'm a New Orleans fan, it's like, well, shit, we just got, you know, we just got an A-plus deal 4 months ago, and now we took like the B-plus deal. Like, what the hell? You know, I guess that may be a little bit frustrating, but big picture, you have Ingram, I guess you have Lonzo Ball, you have Zion. I would personally keep the fourth overall pick and get another young player in there and really build them up young because you're obviously not going to win a title anytime soon. See, I'd say Boston's screwed up a little bit and New Orleans screwed up by not taking that great deal, but obviously the one they got now is not bad by any means. But I guess I was a little surprised that the Lakers kept Kuzma. That must be their pride and joy piece they want to hold on to because I'm assuming the New Orleans wanted him. And they're like, sorry, he's off the table. We'll give you Ingram and Lonzo instead. But I think Kuzma's probably the most talented player. So I'm a little surprised, Chris, that New Orleans wasn't able to put Kuzma in the deal instead of Ball or Ingram. And maybe that's just a difference of opinion. But I from what I've heard, I think he was maybe the best person. So I'm a little surprised they didn't get him in the deal.
Well, and they do have Jrue Holiday, too, playing a shooting guard position.
Oh, that,
so maybe that had to do with it, too. But you're right. That's a good point. That is a good point. That is something that had been talked about a lot. And I remember a lot of Lakers fans and people around the Lakers, and like you said, just different analysts, NBA analysts on Twitter saying that that was a sticking point in there And yeah, to come out with that, that's kind of interesting. If you look at their a potential lineup, you could you know, they have Lonzo Ball obviously for the Pelicans. Elfrid Payton is a free agent. Jrue Holiday and Josh Hart. And Josh Hart could be a solid player. You know, in general, then they have obviously Brandon Ingram, they have Antoine Moore, and then you assume power forward is Zion. They do have Solomon Hill, and they have Jahlil Okafor. Oh my God, Okafor, dude! Man, am I glad the yeah. Timberwolves didn't draft him. Because remember that was like at the top of the draft. Who is it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be? And thank goodness for one time or two times. Maybe three times tops. They made the correct decision there. Thank goodness. But yeah, that is a good point. That is a good point. I mean, a lot of people are up on Kuzman. He's just an explosive player. He's a young player still. He seems like he's going to be able to rain threes. His numbers don't necessarily add up to that, but I think that there's gonna be a lot more, you know. opportunity for that now. So I think they did pretty damn good, though. You know, three first round picks in a fourth pick, like you said, maybe they will go young. Maybe they get, though, a solid player to come in and they have them for a couple years. You know, it's tough to say, but yeah, to have Zion, I just think that it's nice for them. You rarely get worth in the NBA. And I feel like, what's your True. Answer to that? Do you think they got their money's worth considering other, you know, other trades like this? I mean, I think they got a whole lot of stuff coming back, and they do have some young talent now too with Zion, which is like a dream come true to build a franchise with as far as marketing.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, Chris. Chris. Because I remember, I mean, the DeMarcus Cousins trade, when he left Sacktown, it was like, that's what I needed for him? I mean, he almost
right.
never, it almost does seem like if when NBA trades of big players happen, it's like, man, if I did that on a video game, like, I could get better value than that. It's always like, well, that's all we needed for him? So, you know, I do think it was a good deal. Again, you know, who knows what their idea is, but again, I would enjoy having the first pick, and I would probably take the fourth pick too, just because, again, you are young, and you can probably find another
yeah.
up-and-coming superstar. So now you have, you know, Lonzo and Ingram, and you have Zion, now you have, you know, maybe, I don't know, like Brandon Clark or some kid from Gonzaga or some kid from Kentucky, like who knows, but why not flood yourself with young talent and see how it goes? Because I don't really think that's the only way they can go bad for them. I mean, obviously, I don't think Zion's going to be a bust by any means, but I think if you're New Orleans and you pull off these draft picks right and assemble together a team, that's a pretty encouraging start for the franchise, you know, or from where they are right now, you know. Zion's
yeah,
going to be
right.
a piece kind of just like our guy Trae Young in Atlanta is, you know. Are they going to be good for a while? No, but Trae Young was making people recognize him last year in Atlanta. And they've been pretty crappy, so I think you kind of want to, okay, Zion's going to be the Trae Young kind of on the West Coast of like, or Western Conference of, all right, dude, this guy's special. Let's go around him. So I'd be optimistic. But I mean, if they do
and
trade
you know
the fourth pick, though, you can get a veteran player, that'd be pretty sweet, too. I was,
that's
if you
the only
trade,
thing.
Though, yeah.
How young do you want to go? Because it's not like he's there for 7 years, Zion. So you do want to try to win here,
fair.
You know, within a year or two.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I'm sure they have some type of idea in their clubhouse now. But at least you have something fun to play with. And obviously the first-round picks, I mean, for the next 3 years, that is pretty – that's encouraging as a fan base. You know, because some guy next year – you're probably going to have a top 10 pick. Like, okay, now we got Zion a year in, and now we got, you know, player X. It's like, well, damn, now we're really building for the
right.
future, which teams love to do, but you almost never see it executed properly. They have all the potential to do it properly.
Yeah, and they
you know,
use those picks on a real player and bring them in. You know, they could really bring in a solid player just by giving up the fourth pick and maybe first round pick next year. You never know. You know what I mean? So they can turn this
absolutely.
Into another deal with a quality proven player to help them win with what they already got there too. What was your question?
Just going to say, as we kind of keep going through these guys, you mentioned his name a couple of times for Kemba. I think it'd be cool for him to go to the Lakers just because that guy has put on a show in Charlotte for seems like 7 or 8 years. So, sometimes he gets the all-star snubs and everything. But, I mean, that dude is a hell of a basketball player. So, if he's going to go to the Lakers, that'd be pretty cool. That guy's done about all he can single-handedly. You never hear him complain, make a scene, demand a trade or, pull a Dwight Howard. That guy has done it all right for what we know as fans. If he goes there, I can't blame him. I've heard that, he pretty much told Charlotte, I'll take a little bit of a lower deal if you can build around me. And that's probably true, but if the Lakers offer him, is he going to say no to play with LeBron and Anthony Davis? Hell no. Kemba Walker can score 27 points a game by himself, Chris. So if he can join the Cavalry, I'd be pretty happy if I was Kemba going, dude, I don't have to do all this by myself. I have people I can pass the ball to. Okay, this seems like a pretty good idea.
Well, let's talk about it. So you have Kemba. You have the three names that have really come out is Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, and Kyrie Irving, which obviously about a week ago, a lot of people thought Kyrie potentially would either going to be L.A. or Brooklyn. You obviously have to add the layer of other free agents, Kawhi Leonard. I guess you could say Kevin Durant and Clay, but most people think that they're going back like we were just talking about earlier. Tobias Harris is another guy, D'Angelo Russell. There is Marcus Gasol, Porzingis, and Boogie still on the market, by the way, for free agency, which is kind of crazy. But if you're going to choose which one, Walker, Butler, or Irving, which one do you choose and why?
Oh, man. I guess maybe I'll just go through the positive. I mean, obviously, you've seen that Kyrie and LeBron had great chemistry. Obviously, things kind of went a little rough with the Kyrie not talking to people, but you've seen those two are a good team together.
On the court, they had good chemistry.
Yeah, on the court, yes. As players on the court, personality-wise, I think that's why Kyrie apologized a couple times here to try to maybe patch that together, give him the details who exactly knows. Jimmy Butler is just a bulldog. I mean, that guy is just kind of an alpha that's going to play hard defense, make clutch buckets when it matters, and to put him with LeBron, I mean, to me, that'd probably be the most appealing. I think a guy
that's
like
a lot of length
score
too.
Lights out. Yeah, I mean, I would, if I had to, I'd probably pick Butler. Again, is he the best clubhouse guy? Obviously in Minnesota, it didn't go too well. You didn't hear a whole lot about him in Philly. That was, super. I mean, he's his own guy, but I would pick Butler just because I think he's the most well-rounded player. He's probably the best defensively.
Yeah.
Maybe Kemba's a sight better one-on-one offense. I mean, I don't know. We're getting pretty detailed there, but I lean Butler overall because, man, Butler, AD, and LeBron, I mean, and Kuzma, it's like, okay, it's kind of like the version of Golden State we put together, except it's even bigger and stronger. Maybe not, obviously, three-point shooting-wise, but athletically and defensively, holy shit. Good luck getting past LeBron, AD, and Jimmy Butler and eat buckets. Damn.
Yeah, with Walker, he's an explosive offensive player that if they signed him, he's younger, a little younger too. In fact, I remember Kemba Walker. I remember hearing about him for the first time when he was putting up back-to-back 30 points in a Thanksgiving tournament in college at UConn. I believe you and I were in Vegas at that time. And we're like, this Kemba dude, who's this Kemba dude? Man, this Kemba guy is pretty good. And here we are, almost 25 points a game later in the NBA. So the guy is explosive. Kyrie, we know Kyrie's very explosive. Like you said, he already has the on-court stuff. I guess you could say with Butler and Kyrie, there is some baggage there. in the locker room. The only thing with Kyrie is defense. Like you said, Walker and Kyrie not as good as defense as Butler, and you're going to have to give him a long deal, more than likely, or a healthy deal, all these guys, obviously. And, you know, injury-wise, Kyrie's the biggest risk, obviously. By far, Kyrie's the biggest risk, just off his knee stuff. So I'm with you, man. I would narrow it down to either Kemba or Jimmy, and I just don't trust Kyrie in his emotions, his personality, whatever it is. If I'm LeBron, I'm like, dude, this is my last couple of years where I can peak and try to win. Why would I want you back when I got other choices?
Sure.
So I would go with Jimmy Butler because of the length and because of the defense. And we could say it didn't go well in this, that, and the third, but, you know, they were the – I know I hold on to weird stats sometimes, but they were the – when he was healthy, they were the third-best team in the Western Conference for the Timberwolves. And, you know, they did get beat Philly by a bounce-around bucket in Game 7. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like his team has struggled the last 2 years.
No.
You know. So however we, however you want to split it, I mean, they still, you know, he was a killer. He was a killer. There was times this year where you're like in the playoffs where you're like, hey, Embiid, which Embiid's going to show up? Obviously, health is his issue. You know, I would go with Butler. I would definitely go with Butler or Kemba. Butler. But, yeah, I'm with you on Butler.
I think the other thing that obviously this is much tougher to predict, but that will kind of play out how the Lakers go is the coaches. They have Frank Vogel as head coach, but Lionel Collins and Jason Kidd are your bench coaches. Like, holy shit, you have three head coaches there. So it's like, I guess if LeBron does like one guy, like, okay, see ya. Here comes the next one. Okay, here comes the next one. You know, like, I heard, you know, like, they maybe want to hire Jason Kidd, but, you know, his PR isn't exactly the best. It's like, I think the coaching mess will be somewhat of an issue until they get that figured out. Now, obviously, I mean, you could hire pretty much any guy and they're going to be a good team, you know, but coaching does become somewhat of a factor, Chris. So I'll be curious to see, you know, because a lot of people are saying like Vogel's going to be fired after a year, you know, because you have two guys who are head coaches with them on the same bench. Like, that's kind of a weird situation. Normally in the NBA, you know, like, for example, like Mike Brown, he's been Steve Kerr's guy for like the past 6 years now. I think he's content with that. I don't think there's any like hatred in the Warriors locker room of like Brown trying to steal Kerr's spot. But when you guys who are all recently head coaches, like, what, huh? Like, that's going to be some type of drama.
Yeah.
And, you know, that again, I can't really predict.
That's either really good
happen,
or it's drama, you know, because it could be really good because that means you have quality coaches. But it also could be an issue. I do like that they have a defensive-minded coach, though, because I think that'll be
true.
The difference maker with them, you know?
Yeah, and Vogel, he had a hell of a good run in Indiana. He wasn't a joke of a coach at all, but
Right. Neither
was Jason Kidd. So, but I will say that now, kind of, for all the people are talking about, it kind of becomes a quick race over the summer, too, and these don't get the flashy names, but for your benches, you know, because we see all these great teams put together, and this is, and again, I'm not asking for sympathy at all, because the Warriors had a great run, but this was the worst bench we've ever had in our five-year run, and it showed. So, again, the Lakers, okay, you have Anthony Davis and LeBron and bringing in third star, assuming you name later, whatever, okay, who are your bench people going to be? Because, again, you do need that to some minor extent. I know LeBron seems to play every minute of every game, and Anthony Davis is young. But, okay, time to start racing for benches. And Golden State's got to do the same thing. Obviously, you know, I'll ask you one question. I know we're kind of winding down here a little bit. But since the Lakers are obviously locked in the playoffs now, someone's getting bounced out. Like, who do we – I mean, I guess the Clippers would be the easiest choice, but – you know, a team like Utah, who kind of didn't make a whole lot of progress here, kind of stayed in the same position. You know, are they going to be good again? Like, there's a couple teams in the West got to be like, oh, shit. Like, Lakers are good now. We got to step our game up to continue our chance of being a competitive team. I mean, I guess I would say the Clippers are the easiest team to say that are going to be out. But also a couple other teams are like, all right, well, we better
do our best because all of a sudden there's a playoff spot that's already automatically occupied by the Lakers next year.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Lakers were eighth, or I mean, the Lakers, the Clippers were eighth, San Antonio was seventh, Oklahoma City was sixth, Utah was fifth, Houston was fourth, Portland was third, and Denver was second. And you know, it all matters what the Clippers get. If they were to get Kawhi Leonard, I don't see them leaving, you know. Could the Spurs leave? They could. They definitely could. In fact, I'd say the Spurs are probably the one out. Unless the Clippers don't get Leonard or some other free agent, I guess. But, yeah, man, that's a good question. That's a really good question. And maybe that's why people think, well, if it's just Steph and Draymond, they're going to be the ones out. But I would go for the Spurs before I go there. I just see OK City being able to match up with teams throughout the regular season and win enough. And, I'd say the Clippers are seventh or eighth. They're going to be hanging on by a thread if they don't improve their teams. So, but as far as that bench thing goes, it's a lot easier to fill a bench with three rather than four to technically that five. Because remember, you guys had five guys that the killer lineup. I mean,
true.
You know what I'm saying? Like you had Clay, Steph, Draymond, Iguodala, and Durant. So you're not going to have a bench. You know what I mean? Like there's just no money for it. And oh, by the way, you had Boogie. You know what I mean? So it just – the injuries caught up with you guys. That's all that was. It had nothing to do with your bench because there's no way you're going to get a bench with that kind of talent. So those six guys, not even five, six guys, including Boogie, obviously, who played pretty good down the stretch of the season, you know, once he got his shit together, I thought.
He did.
And that'll be interesting to see where he goes. And that's where I thought if Durant was going to leave, could they maybe sign Boogie and kind of go with a different style there? I think Boogie would be a key. If Durant wasn't coming back, maybe Boogie with the Davis signing would be a good guy to have in the West right now, right? But then we don't know health-wise how he's going to be into his 30s. So there's a lot of speculation. You want to get any kind of last words in before we get out of here and shut this thing down?
I think we summed up pretty well. I'm with you. Normally we always hear about, you know, the signings like around the 4th of July. So this one definitely is like, okay, it can happen. Boom, here goes our signing. Because we've done so many of these shows, Chris, where it's like 4th of July weekend, July 2nd, July 7th. This year was like, he's joined the Lakers. Like, that was quick.
Right.
There was no hesitation on that deal at all, Chris. It was game on. All right, dude. You're going to be a Laker. Okay. All right, let's go from there. But obviously,
I believe you could technically start signing a little bit earlier this year, too. So maybe that will get that first wave, and maybe it will be more of the first week in July rather than what it's been mid-July and then another show. And then, oh, by the way, LeBron and, you know, all sorts of weird, like the trade, they made the trade with Leonard. And so, yeah, that's true. It did hit us early. We will be back, by the way, this coming Friday post-draft to talk about that too.
Yeah. And I guess for the final note, we talked about this a little bit. Kyrie, there was pretty much news saying that he was planning on signing with the Nets. Like it wasn't a done deal, but all the dots were about to be crossed. So, when we do a show Friday, will he be officially signed with the Nets, or does this news to come out officially change things a little bit for him? That'll be some piece to fall out. Because, again, the guy has his issues, but he can still play a hell of a good game of basketball. So I have a feeling, I think by Friday it might be a little more news as to, where he ends up. But we will be doing a show Friday. Again, what do the Pelicans do? Obviously, tons of storylines there. They have the first pick and the fourth overall pick. Again, they can load themselves up right now, but as Chris said, maybe you want to bring in a veteran and trade that piece away and trying to get going with Zion as quick as you can. So lots of fun stuff to talk about. Besides Anthony Davis, there's a lot of guys that need to be signed, and it's going to be a fun summer to enjoy. Basketball's done a good job of football now, kind of making it to where, okay, we know we're in the offseason, but we want to keep our fans interested. And they've been able to do that by player signs and all sorts of other news. So until this Friday, have a great weekend. Enjoy your Father's Day. I got a U.S. Open on. I'm going to talk to my dad and watch some golf today. So that's not a bad way to go either. The boys are out. Have a good day. Peace.